You can open your Bibles to Romans 12. We're actually going to use our Bible tonight. Hallelujah. Now, normally, where do we go when we go to Romans 12? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Everybody knows it pretty much by heart, especially around here. And, of course, it starts off with, I beseech you, therefore. And that word, therefore, is very important. Because the first 11 chapters of Romans, well, the whole book of Romans, is just an absolute Rembrandt. It's a Picasso. It's a masterpiece of only God could really write it through somebody like the Apostle Paul, who was so well-versed in all of the scripture that was available at that time. But the first 11 chapters especially, it tells all about the mercies of God. It goes all the way back to Adam. It tells everything, how sin entered into the world and how the problem came and how God has fixed the problem through Christ Jesus. It talks about the faith of Abraham. And if we had that same faith, then we can be accounted righteous and just like he was. But ours even goes farther, on and on and on. The first 11 chapters is talking about by the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And during those first 11 chapters, boy, he lays out everything God has done for us. And, you think about Romans 8. How long did Pastor Dave have us in Romans? How many years were we in Romans chapter 8? How many conferences were year after year? Just in that one chapter, it's so rich. But see, once you understand, once you're on this side, once you have received those mercies and you are born again and you are a child of God and you've been forgiven and you've been regenerated and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost even, because, Romans 8 talks about how the Holy Spirit makes intercession. So it's talking about us. Well, is there anything we can do? And that's really, Romans 12 is kind of the pivot point. Yeah, there is a response to the love of God. Now, he did all the work. It's all free by grace. You access it by faith. There is no other way. You can't pay for it. You can't join it. You can't be good enough. None of that. No, it's all by the mercies of God, all right, and by his grace. And even Sue and I, there are certain confessions that we do every day. And it seems like the more we do it, at the end of it, it's just like, even though we don't see the full manifestation of all of it, I noticed both of us here lately, we'll say something at the end of it. Thank God for your word. We wouldn't know what to believe. We wouldn't have any idea who you are. We wouldn't know what you think. We wouldn't know what truth is. We wouldn't know what to contend for. I mean, the early days, of course, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And at that time, it was kind of it was kind of a formula to me. But boy, I tell you, the longer you're in, it's a miracle. This black and red ink on white paper is an absolute miracle that we have the thoughts of God. And really, it's more than that. Smith Wigglesworth said the word of God is God itself. First time I read that, it kind of shocked me a little bit. But if you go to John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Whew. See? So he's getting us there. Well, so again, Romans, the first 11 chapters, really focuses on the grace of God and everything, the mercies of God, everything he has done for us. But now, starting in Romans chapter 12, it's sort of, now what is our proper response? Okay, so now let's pick it up here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here lately, I've been saying it this way. God already has the plan, and I don't mean just the overall plan. He has your plan. He knows exactly what he's called you to do. He knows exactly what it is you're supposed to be doing in the kingdom. So he already has the plan. He already has the power. What does he need from us? He needs obedience, and he needs our bodies. Because Christ has no body on earth except ours. And that's why humble yourself is so important right now. He's taken me and and I think all of us really, through a season of additional humbling. Because it's one of you is going to be living your life through that body today. It's either going to be you or him. Now, the good news is the more that we do this and the more we're changed into that same image, that division isn't even there anymore. And that's what Paul was trying to say in Galatians chapter 2. He says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. It's I, yet not I. And all he has even trouble distinguishing. And by the time he writes to the Philippians, he says, for to me, to live is Christ. And to me, that means he's saying, if I could unzip my body and Paul step out, Christ step in, zip up the body, and you see Christ using this body today, what you see wouldn't be any different than what you're going to see with me wearing it. Because I and Christ have become one. That is exactly the journey that we're on. So, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now here's you're going to get something new tonight that I've only seen this recently. And it fits so perfectly with all of the words that the Lord spoke this morning. A little bit of it was going to the woodshed. You know, you're still treating the things of God like toys. Things like that. I need you to grow up. One of them was, you're going to stand before him on that day? That's the excuse you're going to give for not being in prayer. That little petty thing. Really, that's what you intend to use. But now tonight, it fits what he's going to show here. It fits so perfect with this day. So let's get it all done in one day. Let's get our woodshed day over. I don't know if it... Okay? Because what Paul does next, he starts in the whole overview of Romans. Again, 1 through 11 really is all about what God has done for us. But starting in 12 on, it starts talking about our proper response. Okay? And he starts listing these ministries here. So let's pick it up in verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, and of course that's men and women, that's mankind, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now let's stop for just a moment. We could go to Ephesians and a couple of other places where he makes this same comparison, comparing the church to the body of Christ. And in one of them, he talks about he ascended and he gave gifts unto men. You remember he gave apostles, prophets, teachers. One of them says working of miracles and healings. Then it talks about helps, governments, diversities of tongues. You remember that? We're not going to teach on that tonight, but every one of those is listed right here. Every single one of them, including helps and governments, is listed right here. And he's talking about you have a place in the body. You know, not everybody's an apostle. Wouldn't that be something to have an apostle answer the phone? I mean, what's my job? I answer the phone. But see, answering the phone is important. Dear God, if you're the one needing help, you hope somebody answers the phone. Isn't that right? I like how, I'm going to embarrass Derek, you know, I like how Alan said the other day, Derek's probably one of the best pastors he's ever met. But nobody calls Derek pastor. But he is. He really is. I mean, he does an amazing job of helping the sheep around the world with all kinds of things. It's absolutely a pastor's role. And he's got a heart for it. You just, the other day, you know, during prayer time, people are always using that one plug over there. And you're trying not to steal the other person's plug. You know, sure enough, here comes a receptor with about like, you know, there's a plug in there with like 8 receptacles on it. There's Derek. Okay. Another little girl likes to come and build a tent right over there when she comes. You know, she's about 12 years old and she likes to build it. I used to like to build tents, you know what I mean, with a quilt and everything. Well, she was having trouble getting it to stay on the chairs. Pretty soon, here comes Derek with four big old plastic clips. It's important. And it's a pastor's heart. See? So it doesn't matter. Nobody calls Derek pastor, but he is anyway. And maybe more than that, but anyway. But there's a place for each and every one of us in the body. So he starts listing these, but then now, and you already know this, but you're going to like it. Now watch this. Verse 4 again. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, then he starts listing these. And whether prophecy, well, that's the prophet, okay? Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. I'm not going to list all of these, but I've already done this study. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He that teacheth, there's Gary. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, that's helps. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, governments, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Well, I'll do a study. We'll teach on that passage one of these days and show you. It's absolutely the same gifts. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. Apostle, prophet, pastor. Apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor. Evangelist. I may have those mixed up. Government helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Same thing. Now, that's not what we're teaching on today. But he's talking about all the gifts in the body. Just like he did over in Ephesians. All the gifts in the body. But now watch this. Starting in verse 9. 9 through 21 is a litmus test. You know what a litmus test is? This is something you can use to gauge how much you are conformed to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Yes, yes. I present my body a living sacrifice. Holy. And acceptable to the Lord. In my mind, I've been at the prayer center zama years. Pastor Dave Roberson is my pastor. My mind is pretty renewed. Okay? Yeah. You ready for prime time, are you? Ready for your place, your ministry? So watch this. Sandwiched, he's got these ministries, the whole body, sandwiched in between Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then verses 9 through 21. So let's use 9 through 21 and just, I'm not going to try to look at it. Well, I have to look at somebody. But as we go through here, try not to make facial expressions so we know which one of these gets you. Let's do a little litmus test and just see how well we're conformed here. All right? So verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. That's fakey love. And then he goes, abhor that which is evil. Abhor is a strong word. I didn't look it up for tonight, but it's abhor, hate. It's beyond hate. Just the thought of it makes you abhor it, hate it, but cleave to that which is good. Okay? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, in the year 2020, prayer center, what does that mean? Nobody's saying nothing. You know what it means. What is the instructions we've received for 2020? The blueprint. Are you slothful? Now, see, I always teach these to the people that are coming. It's you guys, but it's not whatever it is. And when it says not slothful in business, he's not talking about a tire store that you own, although it could be. No, he's talking about in context what he's called you to do. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Gary, do you always feel like coming down here at 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon? No. But I remember O.R. Carpenter turning the bed over on me. And I start talking to myself. If myself does not want to come, I'm going to be nice. You get your lazy behind. in that car, you get yourself down there for corporate prayer. Don't be giving me no excuses either. Now, I'm talking to myself, not you. Aren't you glad? But most of you I see here. Okay. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and understand that it's serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Now, what that means is you don't allow Blue Mondays. You don't allow it. I have the tendency sometimes a Blue Monday tries to come on me like it tries to come on anybody else. You got to recognize it like a snake crawling in your front door, and you don't allow it. You start fighting it. You sing, you worship, you get scripture out, you fill your mouth. Do not stay silent or that rascal will get you. Maybe for days. Amen. I'm getting some nods. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Rejoice in hope, but patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. All right. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. See, that's not, we're not even got, we haven't even, we're not even really at this point talking about the Him that giveth. That's a whole ministry, Him that giveth. We're just talking about, is it John that says, if you see a brother or sister in need, and you don't do something about that, how abides the love of God in you? You know? If you find a need and you've got extra, help. Okay. And given to hospitality. Ah, now we're getting to the good stuff. Verse 14. We'll see how conformed we are here. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. So y'all are doing like I said, don't look around. No facial expressions. I remember that time that the Lord allowed me to be there and see it, where a guy was so mad at Pastor Dave, and it was right before service. Dave had to leave that and come right out and deliver a service. He's back there in his office. This guy was so mad, he was even using curse words, and I mean, he was like 6 inches from Dave's nose, right up in his, from my angle, I could see little drops of spittle landing on Dave's shirt. Guy finally took a breath, and Dave says, "Does this mean you don't like me?" Of course, that just made the guy even madder. That guy drove, he slammed the door and left and peeled out, and Dave walked out. You'd have thought he just stepped out of the throne room of God. Full of peace, full of love, full of funny, full of revelation, just wonderful. Thank God for Pastor Day. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Most of you know, I had a sister. We lost her 40-some-odd years ago. And she's with Jesus, I have no doubt. But it was really hard on the family, all of us, but especially my mother. And I'm telling you right then, the only way you could really help, she didn't need your knowledge, really, at that moment. She needed you to weep with her. I was corresponding with a lady right before the service that recently lost a son. And you got to weep with them that weep sometime. We don't ever want to become so faith-minded. Now, don't get me wrong. Faith is always good, but Jesus wept. You know, there was a time when Jesus was angry, and there was a time when Jesus wept. Isn't that right? So, love people, help people. There's a time you can talk to them, teach them later. Sometimes you just need to be there. Just be there. Verse 10, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That first year that I spoke at the conference was 1997, first time I ever spoke at one. And at that time, we had a bus that we were using, and Doug Zanstra sometimes would drive it and go downtown, pick up the homeless and bring them here. Sometimes I would drive it because I still had my bus endorsement. And so it was conference week, you know. And so I forget what day, but let's say, I don't know, maybe it was Monday I spoke at the conference. And Tuesday I'm driving the bus up full of, can I say, low hygiene, okay, smelly homeless people. You really had to open the windows. You couldn't. It was strong. Somebody saw me driving up, and I had my hat on, but they recognized it was me. He said, weren't you speaking at the conference yesterday? What are you doing driving the bus? I said, does it make a difference as long as you're serving Jesus? See, doesn't matter. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. The way up is the way down. Isn't that right? Humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. So condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now here we go, verse 17. See, in all of this, I'm seeing it so clear now. This is a good litmus test you can use to see how well you are conformed to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Is your mind renewed? When somebody does you evil, do you recompense evil? Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, all you can do is control you. Let me just ask you, did Jesus live peaceably with all men? No, he did not. Pharisees were always trying to figure out some way to kill Jesus. More than once, he escaped out of their hand, you know, the Holy Spirit would. But as far as was possible with him, he was sure willing to live in peace with them. So very often, because you've got to hold to the truth no matter what, and that's love. You've got to speak the truth in love. But that doesn't always mean you're going to be leading a nice little peaceful life. It might mean they want to kill you. But as far as is possible with you, so you recompense to no man evil for evil. There's people today. One, Angie knows, there's one preacher lady in particular that just doesn't like me. Now, I haven't seen her in many years, and things might have cooled off by now. I don't know. But I really appreciate this lady because she was responsible in really helping all three of our daughters after the little rebellion time get back in with the Lord. And so I think, you know, so we'd go visit that church and put offerings in that church and. But as soon as she just somehow got it in her head that I was one of those prosperity preachers, which lets you know she didn't know me very well at all. But she had it, got it in her head that that's who I was, and she never could get it out. And so, you know, we tried and tried, and no matter what we did, you could just tell. So one day the Holy Spirit, the Lord said it to me like this. He said, have you learned yet that your presence does not bless her? He says, have you grown up enough that you can love her from afar and let her not like you? I said, oh, I never thought about it like that. See, because really what I was trying to do, up until then I didn't see it, but really me trying to get her to like me was more about me, because I didn't like somebody not liking me. He said, well, grow up. You know, as far as possible with you, live at peace with all men. And we're at peace. I mean, I'm not at war. But part of that was let her not like you. As far as I know, she still doesn't like me. But I'm at peace with it. Okay. All right. Now, verse 19, here we go. Again, this is, all of this is a good litmus test for how much you are walking in Romans 12, 1 and 2. So verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, verse 19 in particular. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And I'll never forget when he showed me how he repaid, how God took vengeance on Saul of Tarsus for standing there giving approval while they stoned Stephen to death. Stephen didn't defend himself. I mean, he verbally just told the truth, but he didn't try and fight him or anything, you know. And Saul of Tarsus was right there giving his approval while they stoned Stephen smooth to death. Stephen put it over on God. He says, lay not this sin to their charge. Okay? So how does God take vengeance on Saul? He saves Saul. That very person that you want to take vengeance against, God is trying to save that person. God's trying to save that person. And he's trying to get us to grow up enough to understand that. And that we don't respond like the world. See, can you see how this, all of this fits so well, especially with, well, really 12, 1 and 2, but especially verse 2. This is a renewed mind. This is somebody who understands the mind of Christ. This is somebody who has allowed the Holy Spirit to minister God's love through them, where they're thinking from a kingdom mindset. That very person that's destroying you is the person that Jesus died for, and he's trying to find somebody mature enough that can lay down their life for that guy. That's easy to preach and not easy to live. But that's exactly what he's called us to do. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. So most of us want to start doing our ministry. Oh, I'm ready, Lord. What is my ministry? What is my calling? And we run out really ahead of God sometimes. Not ready for prime time. Still got handles sticking out all over. When really God's saying it's like he's doing with us this year. I just thank God for the blueprint for 2020. I thank God that he's got us in a holding pattern. He's got us in it's a purging fire. He's literally purging every hour that the monotony, it gets long, the boredom gets long, the flesh would rather be doing anything except being down here just praying and praying and reading the word, you know. But thank God he's got us in this fire. It's purging, cleansing. All of this stuff right here has got to come out. You know, revenge, selfish ambition. How dare you say that about me? How dare you treat me that way? How did he say it this morning? Petty, little petty things. That's what's going to keep you out of revival. You're hanging on to these little petty things like little children. And really, now we're not going to really get into 13 much, but just look at the next chapter. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. Now, I'm not going to teach on that passage today, but can you tell that's humility? He's saying, even when people that don't like authority, they will not humble themselves under authority. We see that in our nation right now. Right now. Disband the police and all of that stuff. Now, there's abuses that need to be fixed, but come on. This is a spirit of rebellion that's risen up, that has risen up now. And, of course, if there's injustice, that needs to be fixed. We all agree with that. But this rebellion against all authority. Okay, I don't want to. Don't let me go there, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you understand. Let's go on down to verse 8, and I'm going to try and. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. Of course, he's going through the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, if there be any other commandment. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and that's sleeping together out of wedlock and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See, I was, even this morning before the service, he was flowing those statements of Jesus through me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He that loves me keeps my word. He that loves me not keepeth not my commandments. But then what was his commandment? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, he laid down his life for us. Real love lays down your life for your brethren. See? Hallelujah. All I know is when I saw that, You can start thinking, oh, I'm ready, I've arrived, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, till I started reading the test. And that's verses 9 through 21, and I'm going, you know, might be just a little, there might be a lot. There might still be some things that's got to be purged by that all-consuming fire so that the image of Christ can really shine through. Amen? Amen. All right.